Paul Kivi, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 4. Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
When Oklahoma singer-songwriter Ken Pomeroy was growing up, she was obsessed with the song, John Denver's Leaving on a Jet Plane.
I was like 6 years old, and I had my stepmom burn a CD of that song playing 18 times in a row.
And that ignited her love of songwriting. Today, Pomeroy joins me to play songs from her new album, Cruel Joke. Pomeroy, who grew up just outside of Oklahoma City, saw her first concerts at her father's repair shop. It doubled as a venue. She'd go on to cut her teeth in the local music scene, one she says is filled with talented people who supported her.
So many awesome artists, Carter Sampson, Kyle Reed, Sam Crane, so many people that were just excited about me, and it was a really positive thing.
A live performance from Ken Pomeroy, playing songs off of her album Cruel Joke. That's coming up on World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with a special edition of the Up North Report.
Everybody get their own baseline. Get manganese tested on your water.
Tracy, if I this is a point I should jump in.
People in the audience of an overflowing Emily City Council chambers last week occasionally interjected and applauded as members heard an update on a potential manganese mining operation. Councilmember Dan Brennan was the one who jumped in at this moment, directing questions to North Star Manganese CEO Rick Sandry. Sandry was at the meeting to share the latest updates on a project that's been on the table for at least 17 years. A third-party study of a possible mine, known as a preliminary economic assessment, shows that not only is it financially viable, but it could make back its investment in less than 2 years. There's a whole heap of steps that the company needs to undertake now. Sandry likened the report to them having graduated kindergarten. There's pre-feasibility reports and feasibility reports and environmental testing, not to mention a likely many years-long permitting process before a mine could open. But what the people of Emily want to know is, when are they going to test the drinking water? And is that water in danger of contamination if an underground mine were to be built? Brennan joined the council in 2024, but he's long been a part of the Emily Mine Information Group, a citizen organization conducting its own research. He says the group took on testing on its own when it became clear that promises weren't being kept by those involved in the exploration before North Star Manganese.
It seems to me that more can be being done to assess the impacts here as well as for you and your bottom line.
Well, that's where the next phase of our activity is to do that. Had we come up with a bad answer on a PEA, we would be telling everybody thank you very much for allowing us to participate up here, pick up our shoes and go somewhere else to look for another project.
Some of the first exploratory drilling in Emily occurred decades ago in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Various drilling efforts by different mining companies, including in 2023 by North Star, gave insight into what was locked deep below the earth, billions of pounds of rich manganese ore. An accelerated push toward clean energy alternatives and a growing market for electric vehicles and other battery-powered technologies reignited interest in the site's potential. Manganese is one of the metals used in battery production, combined with nickel and cobalt to increase energy storage capacity. While the element is one of the most plentiful on the planet, a small sliver appears to be pure enough for battery use, and signs so far point to Emily's deposit containing that high-quality ore. If the mine moves forward, it would be the only such operation on the continent, in a marketplace where most of the mining is happening in Africa and processing in China. The report predicts the mine lifespan would be at least 23 years, producing 400,000 tons of manganese annually. Mayor Tracy Jones asked Sandry to explain in the simplest terms possible what the benefits would be for Emily residents.
You know, 25 years of activity here that people will be buying from the ACE, going to, local restaurants and things of that sort. So that kind of base.
He also pointed to cash payments per ton of material, a plethora of taxes levied by the state that benefit the local governments, and about 100 high-paying mining jobs. 30-year Councilmember Gary Hansen, who described himself as among the skeptics, responded.
But Rick, you got to keep in mind, no amount of money replaces what we have here.
This is, and I fully support that.
Sandry said he views this project as his parting legacy in a long career, and it's important to him to get it right.
I'm an environmentalist that's in the mining industry. I believe that things need to be done correctly to be able to utilize the assets that God gave us on this planet. But I believe we should utilize the assets. So I come from that side of the use. And I don't want it to be my reputation or on my tombstone that I caused issues at Emily.
There's more to this story. Find photos and diagrams and more at KAXE.org. That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
From NPR, this is World Cafe. Hi, I'm Kaleo. When Oklahoma singer-songwriter Ken Pomeroy was just a little kid, she was writing poetry and being captivated by a certain John Denver song. She had a father who, in addition to being a musician, would turn his repair shop into a concert venue at night where Ken would watch. It's not hard to see the touchstones that led to her stunning new album. That album, Cruel Joke, comes fully formed. It's a beautiful record that Pomeroy hopes will break your heart. Now, in her early 20s, after being featured in TV series like Reservation Dogs and the movie Twisters, I caught up with Ken to hear more about her background, from growing up as a member of Cherokee Nation and the influence of her grandmother, to the support and camaraderie of the Oklahoma City music scene. It's a good one. Our session gets underway with a performance of the track that opens the new album. Here's Pareidolia. It's Ken Pomeroy on World Cafe. Recorded live on World Cafe, It's Ken Pomeroy with a performance of Pareidolia. It is from her most recent album, which is available now. It is called Cruel Joke. The Oklahoma singer-songwriter is my guest today. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Ken, so nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is cool.
Awesome. So I love a good weird word that I immediately have to Google. And Pareidolia, I am familiar because there's a subreddit, but it's like seeing things in other things. Why did you want to write a song with that title? Tell me a little bit about what inspired it.
Yeah, so that song kind of came from a modern influence, which I don't have a lot of modern influences. And it's Buck Meek.
Yeah, Big Thief. Yeah.
Yes, he's awesome. And there was a point in time, kind of right after the pandemic, where I got really, really into his music and into his songwriting. And I was so infatuated by how he brought elements from past albums into new albums, and there's kind of like this running story about, you know, this one person with different colored eyes and all kinds of stuff. But I got so inspired by him that I kind of wrote like an ode to him and his songwriting, and that's Pareidolia.
That's really cool. And yes, there's a long-running debate as to how to pronounce the word, and I think we're all right. If you're just joining us, Ken Pomeroy is my guest here on World Cafe. The debut album is available now. It's called Cruel Joke. I'd love to stick on songwriting for a little bit longer if you're okay with that.
Yeah, of course.
So you said, you know, one of the songs on the record goes back to being when you were 13. Do you remember the first song you wrote?
Yes, I do. So I used to write poetry as a kid, and it was really weird. It was just like, I didn't have many friends, so it was just like, I kind of just wrote poetry on my own, and
That's a perfectly valid hobby. I'm just going to throw it. Maybe that's because I like poetry. But
no, I appreciate it. But that kind of, you know, when I was really young, I was super into Shel Silverstein. Like my sister would always read those books to me. And I always thought it was so cool. Like the stories that he could tell in such a short form. Mm-hmm. And so then I kind of started, when I started playing, I think it was baritone ukulele, which is just the bottom four strings of guitar. Mm-hmm. I started playing that when I was 8 or 9. And that's when I started putting music to Shel Silverstein poems. And then I was like, oh, well, I could put music to my poems or, you know, whatever I write. And then I started doing that. And I wrote my first song when I was 9, and it was called When I Was Young. So,
looking back, several days.
Yes. Very funny.
So how do you go from, okay, writing a song called When I Was Young when you were 9 to writing a 9-minute song about legendary Okie Woody Guthrie?
Yeah. Okay. That was such a great experience for me. So it was a part of a National History Day project that I was required to do in 8th grade. And it was basically about someone influential in Oklahoma who had influenced change in a big way. And Woody Guthrie, I've been a fan of him for a very, very long time. And through doing that project, I learned so much about him that I feel like I wouldn't have just, you know, done on my own. So I'm really thankful about that. But the 9-minute song thing was a feat. That was really hard to do.
So you probably acquired several Woody Guthrie facts over the course of writing this. What's a fun Woody Guthrie fact? I hate to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. So this is kind of depressing, but he died of Huntington's disease, which is it's terrible. It's like, it affects your brain and your movements and all that kind of thing. But recently, in the last month or so, they found a cure for it. So that was like an exciting thing that I was like, oh, Woody would be, that would be awesome.
That's incredible. And so Woody Guthrie was music that you were, you know, was important musically, but also as an Okie. But John Denver was
huge. Yeah,
was huge. Leaving on a Jet Plane was the song.
It was kind of the first time that I felt music. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I don't really know why I got so obsessed with it, but I was like 6 years old and I had my stepmom burn a CD of that song playing 18 times in a row.
I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. So many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing.
The first moment where I was like, well, I want to do that. You know, I want to do what he's doing for other people, that he's making me feel these things. And it's like, what? Feel what? You're six. But
you feel it because that's emotion at its most raw state. You don't even understand what that feeling is.
Yes. Yeah. And it took me a while to, I think, understand how to achieve that. And I'm, you know, constantly working on how to achieve that still, I think.
You're listening to World Cafe. Ken Pomeroy is my guest. The album is called Cruel Joke. We're going to hear a performance of Flannel Cowboy. This is one that you chose to re-record. It was originally on 2021's Christmas Lights in April. Why was this the one that you wanted to sort of bring forward into the, this record?
You know, the recording on Christmas Lights was a voice memo. And when I went to the studio to record Christmas Lights in April, I just could not get the performance for that song. So I was like, well, what if I just used this voice memo.
Wow,
and
yeah.
Then we did that. But so many people like that song. And so I wanted to do it, I guess, more justice or like give it another hurrah, I think.
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool. Let's take a listen to it. It's World Cafe with Ken Pomeroy.
Playing.
Recorded live in studio, it's Ken Pomeroy with a performance of Flannel Cowboy. The album version can be found on her most recent release called Cruel Joke. Coming up, more conversation and more live performances with Ken Pomeroy when we get back to World Cafe.
This is People Powered KAXE, where you get deep dives into the nature of northern Minnesota. And sometimes you get some advice.
As the season of fall is coming to a close, please consider not getting rid of all your leaves that have fallen in your yard. Leaves that litter our yards provide hiding spaces and insulation in the winter for insects and a host of small animals. Also in the spring, leaves start breaking down, releasing nitrogen and other nutrients back into the soil, making a natural fertilizer. This concludes the Phenology Report. Have a great week and be observant.
You can learn and stay curious by listening to the brand new Season Watch podcast featuring the voices of students across the region and Charlie Mitchell and John Latimer. Go to KEXE.org or Spotify or Apple to sign up for the Season Watch podcast.
Welcome back to World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Ken Pomeroy is my guest. Her new album is called Cruel Joke. Coming up, we'll talk about how her dad ran a music venue out of a repair shop and the camaraderie and tight-knit nature of the Oklahoma City music scene. But first, we have another live performance, song that you can find on her new album, Cruel Joke. Here is Bound to Rain. It's Ken Pomeroy, live on World Cafe.
Selling countryside in a new frontier. Steer clear. It's bound to rain. It's bound to rain. White dog with one black eye. Family tie. Fighting fire with fire in the hole you dug. You're getting burnt and you're looking rough, buddy. You're in luck. Bound to rain.
Recorded live on World Cafe, it's Ken Pomeroy. The song is Bound to Rain, a recent release from the singer-songwriter whose music you might have heard on Reservation Dogs or in the movie Twisters. Ken Pomeroy is my guest on World Cafe. I am Kaleo. If it's okay with you, I'd love to jump back a little bit to your childhood. Growing up in Moore, Oklahoma, which is just outside of Oklahoma City, or just south of Oklahoma City, your dad was a musician. He ran a music venue, which makes me think that you were surrounded by music, like, from the jump. Is that accurate?
Kind of. He was a musician, and he kind of, we had a, like, a car shop. It was kind of like behind the house, and he would work on people's motorcycles and cars and stuff. And then once I took a liking to wanting to be a musician and like really interested in actually doing it, he started having house concerts in the shop. And so it was like...
In the repair shop?
Yes. Yeah. He, you know, built this stage, and it was a really cool kind of immersive experience for me. And it was kind of what showed me that, like, oh, I can do this. I can do this. This is a real thing that people do. People go out and they tour, and there's places like this that can, like, host you, you know, on a small level. So it's like the first time I maybe thought that I could be able to do this for a living was when John Craigie came and he played the shop. And he stayed the night, and the next day we all had waffles. And I was probably 12 or 13 when he played the shop. And I love his music still to this day. He's awesome. But he kind of had this hilarious storytelling element to his music that I feel like I adopted. And he just told so many stories about being on the road, and like, I don't know. That was kind of the first time where it's like, oh, this is real. Like, it's not just a local music scene, which can be really cool, but like, this can be bigger than I think what I thought.
Tell me a little bit about the Oklahoma City music scene, because that's ultimately where you, I mean, I know more, you know, like playing shows in the shop, but as you got into your teens, I imagine you're playing shows in OKC. What's the energy there like?
It used to be, it's you know, music scenes change so much in just like 2 years.
Sure, yeah. Oh my God, with the internet culture, yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. Internet culture, post-COVID, just so many things have changed. But when I was, you know, growing up essentially in that scene, it was so supportive. And it was, you know, I was surrounded by so many awesome artists, Carter Sampson, Kyle Reed, Sam Crane, it just... So many people that were just excited about me, and it was a really positive thing. And it totally could have been terrible. It could have been like
you find the
toxic
wrong group
thing.
Of people. Yeah.
But I got so lucky with that. And every single time that I would go to one of their shows, they'd be like, "Ken, come up and sing one." They'd always lend me a stage, which was kind of like the first time where I got to perform at an actual show.
What about your connection with John Moreland?
Oh, yeah. So I have been a huge fan of John Moreland for the entirety of me playing music. Huge inspiration for songwriting, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
I remember listening to him on an iPod shuffle on my trampoline when I was a child. and then we played a song swap together in Tulsa, and that was kind of the first time that we had, like, played together. And then I cold messaged him about singing on Coyote. I was just like, "Hey man, you want to sing on this or what?" And it took him a few days to respond. So I was like, "Oh, it's not gonna happen." And then he responded and was like, "Yeah, song sounds cool." I was like, "We made it. We did it."
Four words.
And so then we did that together, and then we did a lot of touring together last year, and so awesome. Like, those shows were such a great experience, and the crowds were so quiet, and it was the perfect experience for early touring.
Well, I'm so glad that, like, that you made that connection with Moreland. I want to play a little bit from the album Coyote, John Moreland guesting on this song from Ken Pomeroy here on World Cafe.
Dining room, fighting. our parents. There ain't no reason to hide. Crying coyote, look me in the eye. Under
from the album Cruel Joke, that's Ken Pomeroy on World Cafe, a little bit of Coyote featuring John Moreland. Ken is my guest today here on World Cafe. My name is Kaleo. I would love to talk a little bit more about another influential person in your life, which is your grandmother. Can you, how do you refer to your grandmother?
My mamaw.
Your mamaw. Can you talk about your relationship? Sounds like a special one.
Yes. She is the best. I talked to her yesterday and she was cracking me up because Bound Terrain has a curse word in it. And it was on the show The Lowdown, which is a new show with Ethan Hawke.
And
and she was just talking to me about how some of our family was not happy about the curse word in the song. But she, of course, was just like laughing about it. But she's so great, and she's well into her 90s and still kicking. I mean, she is the sharpest tool in the shed. But, you know, she was the person that I spent a lot of time with as a kid and, like, becoming a young woman. I spent a lot of time with her, and she taught me so much about my heritage, and she always was so proud to be Native, and she was kind of the one who really was like, this is who you are. And I'm going to teach you everything I know about this thing that we are, you know? And she gave me my first pair of moccasins. She made my regalia. Like, she's awesome. And she is such an influential person for me just because of how strong she is and so resilient. And she's like, super sassy and just kind of like won't take anything from anybody, which I really love about her.
That's cool. Do her life lessons show up in your music, your songwriting, do you think?
I think that a lot of things that she has imprinted, you know, show up in songwriting just because, you know, by default, it's like all I know.
Yeah. You know, you brought up your Cherokee heritage and I know it influences your work because storytelling is central to passing on tradition. I'm curious what you hope to pass on through your songs and your stories.
Totally. That's a great question. I mean, I only really hope to be a good ancestor. And I've said that before. But, you know, in the future, I want the future of, you know, my lineage or whatever to look back on me and think positively that I, you know, did a good job about being who we are and not being afraid to just, I don't know, be Native.
Yeah. What does showing up look like for you at this point?
Totally. I mean, I think educating is a huge thing and, you know, supporting community. And with saying that educating is a big thing, it's not necessarily our job to educate, but...
Great point.
It, you know, sometimes it has to happen, and I feel a lot of privilege that I get to educate people on, you know, things that are happening. And a lot of time, you know, there's kind of a resurgence of like Native people in media right now, which, you know, with Res Dogs and Killers of the Flower Moon, and there's just like a lot of things happening, and I'm very thankful for that. But there's also, you know, of course, a double-edged sword to all of it as well, with people wanting to claim heritage that they haven't experienced before.
Appropriation.
Totally.
Things like that, yeah.
Which is an interesting thing to navigate. And Sterling Harjo and I have talked a lot about this because when he created Res Dogs, there wasn't one time that they outwardly said that they were Native. So it was just like a capturing of people.
Right.
That's it. I mean,
it didn't have a bent to it. It's just yeah. they happen to be this.
Totally.
But, yeah.
Wow. That's really cool. Ken Pomeroy is here. This is World Cafe. We're going to end with a brand new song. These are my favorite moments because it's sort of like, ooh, I've never heard it. We're going to hear it for the first time together. Tell me a little bit about how Pocket Knives came together.
Yeah, so this one is actually, it'll be the first time that it's recorded as World Cafe, which is crazy. But I wrote this one, I found out I had this like heart condition where my heart just beats really fast. And so I got put on a medication to slow it down. But then it just like part of the 1-3% that it raises your heart rate. So it was just like this nonstop, super fast heart rate. And so I kind of like sat down and started to write a jokey song a little bit. And you know, the first line is my heart keeps beating faster than yours. But then it kind of became like this fairy tale-esque song. And it was kind of one of the first times that I wrote a song for instrumentation and not lyrics.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that challenge like?
It was interesting. It was, I took a lot of pressure off me. I
think. Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that like, feels like unlocking a secret and a songwriting secret there though.
Totally. Yeah. I'm really excited because I think that the next album is going to have a lot of that happening.
Wow. And you're already working on that, huh?
Trying to, yeah.
One time left.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to get into this live performance of Pocket Knives. It's Ken Pomeroy on World Cafe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What do you know? A world premiere on World Cafe. The song is Pocket Knives. It's from my guest, Ken Pomeroy. The album is available now. It is called Cruel Joke. Ken, this was such a blast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Awesome. We'll have you back again soon. That's Ken Pomeroy. I'm Kaleo. Back in a minute with more World Cafe. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Thanks again to Ken Pomeroy. The album is Cruel Joke. It's available now. Hat tip to our producer, Miguel Perez, who worked on that session. And if you want to see video of the performance and conversation, you can do it on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to World Cafe. Let's get back into music with new stuff from Kings of Leon, their first EP in over 20 years, appropriately called EP number 2. To Space, new music from Kings of Leon.
Now you're in real life.
Emerging and established artists. This is World Cafe.
Something stopped me, dead in my tracks. I was headed for disaster, and then I turned back. I was wrestling with the coat hanger. Can you guess who won? The universe shrugged, shrugged then moved on. It's a guess, no idea. It's a feeling, not a voice in my head. Just a feeling. And by the way, this fire can come alive. By the way, this time I'll get it right. Oh. Not a shaman or a showman, ashamed I was selling the rights. Took a breather and decided not to ruin my life. I was conforming to a cosmic design. I was playing to time until I walked back to the garden of earthly delights. I was born to perform. And no one will ever have the last word, because it's not something he could ever say. So simple.
street. You were finishing your drink. We were waiting for your friends. It hadn't been romantic in a while. You were kind of playing mean. It was the kind of Friday night where all the drunks are in the street. So this girl, he wanders up. She was trying to get a laugh. She pretends she had a mistletoe hanging by her head. You were drunk but still polite. We didn't want to kill her vibe. So we pressed our lips together like we had a thousand times. But it might be the last time that we kissed. You always take for granted what you have until it's missed. Don't you take for granted what you have until it's missed. Orange wine at B&B. Then we got the news about Eileen. I punched the hole in the wall. You got caught up in a ball. You told your friends he's a loaded. Now you say that I'm the one. Is it romantic that you're the only person I never cheated on? And now we're dancing in the park. You're really trying to unwind. It's been so long since I've seen you have a decent time. Not crashed out on the couch. Not pulling your hair out. To be happy. And I know the way that sounds when you hear this. 'Cause it might be the last time that we talk. It breaks my heart, but I think I'm moving on.
DJs, you have less than 1 minute remaining. Sometimes I pretend Noel Fielding of the Great British Bake Off is talking to me, telling me I got to wrap up this show. Medium build last time. That's a good way to do it. And yes, that is the end of the show. But there is more World Cafe available for you on demand. World Cafe, words and music, wherever you get your podcasts. We make this show from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Shout out to our affiliates who make this show possible. This has been World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by AEG Presents, presenting Brandi Carlile's The Human Tour 2026, with stops across North America.